Because, friends, proof of God's amazing love is this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it is the same Jesus, because we have faith in him, that we dare with confidence to approach God. So let us confess our need of God's redeeming love and mercy. Let us pray. O God, you are of too pure eyes to behold iniquity, and before whom transgressors cannot stand. And we confess our self-deceits and mean excuses. We've been careless, cowardly, and mutinous by base imaginings and vindictive broodings, by carnal passions and selfish dealings, by harsh tempers and unlovely manners. And we've wronged our own hearts and hurt others. And we remember before you our neglected virtues, which would have adorned our own souls, gladdened our friends, and bettered the world, and contented your spirit. From infirmity of purpose, slackness of indifference, and all moral deadness of heart, good Lord, deliver us, we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A week ago, last Saturday night, I was weaving through a bit of a traffic jam on the skating rink in Victoria Park next door. But I was glad to be holding the hands of our grandsons, Wes and Owen, because I like to think that I was helping them, you know, to remain steady on their feet. But know deep down they were really helping me and were serving as cautionary obstacles to the more aggressive skaters that were whizzing by us. And after we survived this invigorating winter pastime and traded our skates and our more stable boots, we took a moment to visit the two displays next to the rink that served as symbols of the Christmas season. And the boys sat on the reindeer and stood on Santa's sleigh. And the reindeer, they were metal and cold. And Santa seemed skinnier than what you'd expect. And then the other was a crash scene with balls of wool strewn amid the hay. And there was an open-armed baby Jesus with really well-coiffed hair looking up at us as if to say, give us a hug. And I was struck by the impact of looking afresh at age-old representations of or overly familiar depictions through the less world-weary eyes of these youngsters. And the event found me reflecting upon my own jarring insights of Christmas's past. I recalled when I was just a little guy, smaller than I am today, standing and sitting and jumping up and down and whirling around while the Santa Claus parade went by in front of me. And I, with a multitude of other children, giggled and screamed with delight as we frantically grasped at candies being tossed from passing floats. And I remember the poor kids playing in the marching bands, whose frost-bitten lips and hands stuck painfully to their instruments. Yet the sounds they produced warmed and excited our hearts and made us dance and mock the cold. And this was exciting stuff, because Santa had come all the way to Newmarket, and I was going to see him. And as Santa's float neared, the energy rose amongst the people ahead of me, and I too was being caught up. There they were, the reindeer. And there he is. He's not fat enough. His beard isn't curly. And his suit's the wrong color of red. And his ho, 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 it just doesn't cut it. It must have experienced times in your life when who you were expecting did not meet with your expectations. Who are we expecting to celebrate at Christmas? And the answer in one word is simple: Jesus. But the more complex, more crucial, and difficult question is this: who is the Jesus that we hope to celebrate? I have to say how grateful I was for the Advent devotional and meditation readings provided by our CBOQ staff this year. The devotional entitled The Names of Jesus. Because amid the cacophony of portrayals of Jesus that the world has conceived and envisaged for 2,000 years, our Christology can be easily skewed. Shoot, even his contemporaries were challenged. Remember Jesus? He asked a similar question while he walked with his disciples near Caesarea Philippi. Who do people say I am? Who do we say he is? Who is the Jesus we are invited to conceive? And we read in Luke's gospel that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, those words were probably very familiar to Mary. They echoed through the preceding years for her and other Jewish people who were expecting and anticipating the coming of their Messiah. And who were the Hebrew people expecting? Well, they were expecting a king, a promised king, a king from the royal lineage of David, a king who would restore the nation of Israel. And they had become a scattered and disjointed people. But he would bring healing, unity, and dignity to this hurting and defeated people. They were expecting a national political leader who would come triumphantly and defeat their enemies. Friends, so many failed to recognize Mary's baby, the love she had conceived. He was the stone the builders rejected. Some say you're Elijah, others John the Baptist, and still others say you're one of the prophets. And rather than expecting a suffering servant Messiah, they expected a conquering political leader. Where was the love in that? Even Mary failed at first to recognize the full significance of God's intervention in her life. She asked, "How shall this be, since I have no husband?" Mary, this baby will not be just any ordinary boy. God will be the father. For with God, nothing is impossible. And this was affirmed for Mary by the news of the angel Gabriel. The angel said that God had already, through a miracle, intervened in the life of her relative Elizabeth. Are our expectations limited? Are we prone to practicing an all-encompassing birth control? Do we fail to see the significance of God's intervention into our lives and into our world? Friends, God wants to birth his love in and through us. Years ago, two men came to my door and they asked me these questions. Are you troubled by the absence of peace in our world, the buildup of nuclear arms and the threat of war? And I said, yes. And he said, doesn't it bother you, they asked, that so many people are starving in the world, that there are poor and oppressed people among us? I said, yes. And they said, well, we've got good news. Jesus is going to come back and establish his kingdom here on earth, and wars will cease, and people will not go hungry, and the poor and oppressed will be lifted up. Isn't that great? My response was this. Well, why did Jesus come in the first place? Mary's response to God's call was beautiful. For not only would she risk the misunderstandings of those she met, but would also face the ridicule and shame given to an unwed mother. And Mary humbly accepted the task given her in a spirit of servitude and obedience. Behold, I am the servant girl of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. how do we respond to God's intervention into our lives? Can we, like Mary, accept the task set before us and risk ridicule and misunderstanding? Can we, with humbleness and a spirit of servitude and obedience, participate in the good work that God has already begun in us? Friends, we're called to be the body of Christ in the world, representing Mary's baby, conceiving love, the incarnation of God. We could represent a different Jesus, one who would be an incarnation of this world's value systems. Well, how benign and easy it is for us to bow down to the big red guy who drinks Coke and shops till he drops, right? It is easier to make a Jesus conform to our world than to find a world prepared to conform to the values of Christ. In other words, the dangers that we face today is that rather than worship and celebrate Jesus, Mary's baby, the Christ of Scripture, we may find ourselves celebrating and worshiping ourselves. And rather than worshiping the Creator, we find ourselves worshiping the creature. It was Voltaire who once said, "God created us in his image, and we have chosen to return the favor." We live in a success-oriented society, and we can find evidence of how the Jesus of Scripture has become for us, for some, a success deity, right? If we tune into some of the messages that resound from the mouths of some church leaders today, we encounter a Jesus who promises success and prosperity if we follow him. I was at a youth mission conference some time ago where Tony Campolo shared an encounter that he had with a prominent evangelist, and in an effort to justify his exorbitant wealth, this man asked Tony, "Are we not children of God?" And Tony said, "Yes." And the gentleman went on to say, "Well, God's the king. You're a child of the king. I'm a child of the king. How does a child of the king live?" And Tony responded to this man saying, "If you're talking about the child, the King of Kings, he got crucified and was nailed to a Roman cross, had no place to lay his head." Friends, Mary's baby came to lose his life, not to save it. Mary's baby came to serve, not to be served. So who then are we expecting? Who and what are we conceiving? When God intervenes in our lives and calls us his children and servants, are we prepared as Mary was to give God ourselves? And you may be saying, "I want to commit my life to God and to God's plans for the world God loves. But how can I do this?" Jesus said, "Whatever you do to the least of these, you do to me." Yeah, but that's so tough. Of course, it's not easy as long as we believe we're doing it alone. Mary's impossible task was made possible because she was willing to be used by God, who made the impossible possible, and submitted to God's working in and through her. So then let us today and every day rejoice with Mary at the opportunity and privilege we have to be part of God's love for the world, to conceive his Son and re-present his Son. Let us sing out that our souls will magnify the Lord and bring glory to God. Let our spirits rejoice in God our Savior, for he who is mighty has done great things for us. So who are we expecting to celebrate at Christmas? Well, I believe that who we are as a church, who we are as Christ's body on earth, will depend greatly on whom we are expecting. Let's give thanks. O God of life and love and light, our maker, sustainer, and giver of every good gift, it's to you we bring our thanks. For those who introduced us to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus and shared with us his love. For the living body of Christ, of which we are all a part. For your living word, who entered our dark world and called us into the warmth and comfort of your healing light, we thank you. God, we are grateful for people in our lives who reflect your light and love. For love heard in laughter and good conversations, family voices, friendly greetings, cheers of encouragement, our lover's whisper, and the unexpected phone call, we thank you. For love seen in the flower arrangement, the child's painting, grandma's smile, and grandpa's wink, the food set before us, the baby being born, and the tears of shared grief, we thank you. And for love felt in hard-working, calloused hands, the child's kiss, the blanket tucked around us, the embrace of a friend, the warm knitted sweater, and the support of another's arm, we thank you. Oh God, our days are brighter because of your many gifts of love to us. And God, we remember to your care those whose experience of this day is dark and cold. We entrust to you those whose day has been darkened by sickness and the hardships of growing older, and the child's day darkened by abuse and neglect, and the teenager's day darkened by worries that have been ridiculed, and the parent whose day has been darkened by raising many children alone, the one whose day has been darkened by the loss of work or early retirement, and those whose day has been darkened by being shut in, and those who have been shut out. God, make us instruments of your love and light in the world, to penetrate the dark places where love has been lost, and grant us courage to risk failure, ridicule, even ungratefulness, as we seek to love unconditionally as you've loved us. O love that fires the sun, keep us burning. In the name of the light of the world, Jesus, our Redeemer, we pray. Amen.